Good morning, Shore community. Welcome. Please come and take your seats. Because we're going to play musical chairs. So there might not be a full number of seats for everybody by the end. Welcome this morning. Welcome this second Sunday in Advent. And you'll notice this morning that there's very much a theme in our worship of Come, Lord Jesus. And you know, at this time of year, we celebrate the historic coming of Jesus to earth to radically change the direction of humanity. But as we worship God this morning, let's also be mindful that not only has Jesus come, but he's coming. He's coming soon. You know, we're going to be singing a song, "He's Coming on the Clouds." And as we do, let us remember that actually this Advent, we're also celebrating that Jesus is coming again soon. And that he's coming to make all things new. And so as we worship him this second Sunday in Advent, let's have that great expectation. Let's expect great things from God, and let's attempt great things for God this morning. So, Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, would you open our hearts to receive you? And Lord, would you cause a hunger to go deep down within each one of our spirits now, the core of who we are, Lord, to attract your presence in this place. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me this morning. Hold your hands out in front of you. Would you want to stand for a moment or two if you can? Ready to sing. Hold your hands out in front of you. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill my heart, my core, my spirit with your presence this morning. That where I end and you begin, there is no join. That we are one this morning. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you. We welcome you and we give you praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down.
Again, holy.
Holy, holy, God Almighty.
Holy, holy.
God are you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Thank you.
welcome John to come and bring the notices in his own inimitable style.
Well, good morning, everybody. A warm welcome to you here, and any of you who are joining online. It's wonderful to be here this morning, this lovely weather especially. So, have I got news for you? And starting with Coffee Plus on the 14th. If you've ever wondered what the plus is, I thought possibly it was a high energy drink, but it's actually, I can tell you this week, it's carol singing. So if you'd like to find out more, please see Sally Burge. Our Christmas carol service, it's all about Christmas, the notices today, pay attention, is on the 17th, and it is at 6 p.m. Please bring mince pies in advance. We'd love those to relieve you of those mince pies so everybody can enjoy a mince pie or three that evening. Now, next, we have a nativity procession on the 23rd. And Jamie, if you could hoof it up here and tell us a bit more about it. Thanks.
Yes, indeed. We have a procession on the 23rd, which is the Saturday just before Christmas. This is a churches together thing, churches all across the town. It's going to be really fun, and I think a really great way to witness about our togetherness to the whole community. So we're going to be meeting in three different spots, at the Methodist Church, at the Catholic Church, and also we'll be coming from here with the camel, promised to be on best behaviour. Is Ian Mack in? Say, Ian McMath, are you in? Wave at me if you are. Yes, you are. We've been working on that camel, haven't we? He's much better behaved than last year, isn't he? No. So we're going to be dressing up. The kings will be coming from, we'll be meeting here, getting ready, and then walking down. Or you can meet us outside Boots, and we're going to be coming down from London Road. But if you'd like to dress up, then I can let you know which place to dress up with. We'll have the shepherds and the angels in one place. We'll have the Bethlehem crew and the animals coming from the Methodist Church, and the Magi coming from here. So if you'd like to dress up, fabulous, come and dress up. Stick a tea towel on your head. It's the only time of year you can put a tea towel on your head and everyone knows why you've done it. The rest of the year, people give you funny looks. I've tried it, I can tell you. But the if you don't want to dress up, equally, no problem at all. It'd be just great to have a good number of people all gathering around. We're all going to, if you're not great at walking, just meet us outside Santander at the bottom of London Road. We're going to be having some carols with the Salvation Army band. Come on, carols with the brass band at Christmas. It's what it's all about, isn't it? So if you want to just meet us there at 12:30. And we will be having some carols, or meet at one of the churches and walk down in the procession just before that. All the details will be in the notices, much better than my garbled rendition, but I really want to encourage as many as possible to make time from about 12:30 to 1:30 on that Saturday. When you've done that, you can do your last minute Christmas shopping. You'll be in town. Over to you.
Thank you, Jamie. Turn up or Jamie will get the hump. And the last time I got a tea towel around my head was when Laura told me off for not washing up properly. So, anyway. On Sunday the 24th, we have a special service at 4 p.m. There isn't a normal service at 10:30 on that Sunday. Do come along at 4 p.m. on Sunday, the Christmas Eve. Then on Christmas Day, we have a 10 a.m. carol service. 10 a.m., not 10:30. Come along and, you know, let's join together to enjoy Christmas morning together. And there is a Christmas lunch. Also, don't spend Christmas alone. So if you're thinking about the prospect of not having anyone to share Christmas with, do come and share Christmas with us. We'd love you to. But if you could see Carla by the 14th, so we just get an idea of numbers and can manage the food. But that would be great. So do consider that if you don't have anyone to spend Christmas with. Sylvia has a special announcement. Come on up, Sylvia.
This isn't about Christmas, so you're for good or for bad. Right, I want to give a plug to the Women's Ministry Day, which is happening on the 24th of February next year. I know it's a bit of an advance, but with Christmas in the middle, then, you know, things kind of slip, don't they? So we've got flyers out on the table as you come in or go out. That's the front with an eagle on the front. So that it's called Empower 2024. That's the name of the day. And it's from 10 till 3:30 with registration and coffee from 9:30. It costs £15 for the day, but if you finances are an issue, then have a word with me because we might be able to do something. All the details are on the back. The day is going to be kind of an informal style, sort of cafe style, rather than seats in rows, which will give us more opportunity just to do teaching and other activities and interactions. And I'm really excited about this day. I mean, I really felt that God was putting it on my heart to lead this. And by the number of people who've stepped up to be on the team, I think God's put that on other people's hearts as well. Because I was absolutely overwhelmed by the number of people. I've got 20 people wanting to be involved. So I would encourage you to put it in your diary. And tickets will be available on Church Suite, if you're on there. For those who can scan, I've got a QR code, or you can see me. I haven't got the tickets now. I'm hoping they'll be printed by next Sunday. But to say that, pick up a flyer on your way out, and there's lots of details on the back. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. That sounds a great event. So put it in your calendar, please. Right, could I have some volunteers to take the offering? Splendid, thanks. Lord, for this offering, Lord, this faithful giving from your people, Lord. Lord, take it, and all those who give by direct debit and by other means, Lord, bless it and multiply it for your work in this town, Lord. Amen.
Okay. Just before, kids, you go out to your groups, we've got to light the Advent candles. Now, I'm going to need two volunteers to help me light the Advent candles. Two volunteers, anywhere at all. Now, Harry, did you do it last week? So should we let Scott have a go this time? Yeah, do you want to come up as well? Come on then, Scott, you come up as well. Because Harry did such a good job. Well, Harry, you can come and help us because you did such a good job. You can be supervisor. Oh, come on then. Let's all come up and we can do it together. Now, hang on. Who's going to hold the wand for me? The wand of flaming. Oh, mind that. Now, okay, you go first then, Scott. Now, let's just remember. Now, last week we lit the first candle. Who remembers what that one was? Hope, brilliant, fantastic. Yeah, so Scott, do you want to light a candle for hope last week? Not setting fire to any of this lovely greenery here. That'd be fantastic. Now, do you want to do the next one?
I want to do mine last.
Okay, well, we're going to do one second. So can you do it together? I tell you what, try and hold it together. This is going to be, I'm trying to hold it together all the time. It's brilliant, isn't it? Now, it's Christmas soon, folks. Christmas soon. Okay, now, should we do this one at the front? Now, this one, does anyone know what this candle is for? You press the clicker. I'll show you in just a second. Oh, how do you do it? How do you do it? Oh, that way, sorry. I'm pressing it like that. I'm sorry, I'm very old. Now, I'm over 50 now.
Now, so that one was hope. Anyone got any ideas what the second candle represents? Care, that's a really good idea. It's not quite right. Anyone got any ideas?
Joy.
Oh, joy is next week. That's really good. Joy is next week. This week?
Peace.
Peace, fabulous. Well done. So if you could, you want to try and do it together, you've got to pull that clicker that way, towards you, with your thumb. Yeah. Pull. Oh, it's a bit stiff. There we are. Oh, there we go. Oh, hi, hello. Who put petrol on this? Go on, drop one more. Okay, no, we're just going to do that one there. Go on, light. There we are. No, maybe you can do it next week. I tell you what, you pull the clicker towards you. Oh, no, I've done it. It's no magic. And then we're going to do that one next week, that one the week after. And this one will be for Christmas Day. So we'll keep on lighting them each week. But at the moment, we've got hope and we've got peace. Because Jesus said he is the peace, the Prince of Peace. In the book of Isaiah, it says he's the Prince of Peace, which is what we really need in this world, isn't it? Absolutely. Who needs a bit more peace this Christmas?
Me.
Just one or two of us. Fabulous. Okay, big round of applause for all the kids. Well done, guys. We're going to sit down. Oh, mind the... fire extinguisher is just there for future reference. Everyone know? Mark, you're... okay. Is it time for the kids to go out, Juliet? Yeah, okay. Brilliant. So we're just going to pray for our children and young people as they go out for their various groups. Lord, thank you so much for these brilliant kids and brilliant young people. And Lord, thank you so much for the folks who love and care for them and look after them each week and just show them each week just something of the beauty and the joy of your kingdom. Amen. You're doing... Christmas Story, Juliet? Is that what we're doing?
Part one. Christmas Story, part one.
Sounds exciting, doesn't it? If you get bored during my talk, you can just go on out, knock on Juliet's door. She'll, yeah, probably have more fun. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Simon. We're going to worship a little more. Yeah?
Thank you. Beautiful. If you'd like to assume the best position for worshipping, and you can stand if you want. Whatever you do, Just close our eyes for a moment, engage our imagination as we begin this song. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before him.
Open up the gate.
Open up the gate. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah.
the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You.
Yes, Lord.
I want to see You. Of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You.
To see You high.
To see You high. Lifted up. glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
My
Seats as Jamie comes to bring the word of God.
Can we have the PowerPoint up, Paul? Thanks. Thanks, Simon. Thank you, band. It's lovely to worship together, just come into the presence of the Lord. We're in a series at the moment called Feast. I don't know, I just expected a reaction. I don't know. Just the word feast. I like that word. It's a good word, isn't it? You, as I mentioned last week at the family service, I'm just going to move this guitar slightly out of the way, Simon, otherwise I'm going to knock it over. As I mentioned last week, as you probably know, some of you already, in the Christian calendar, there are feasts and there are fasts. And Christmas is probably one of the best known feasts for obvious reasons, because of the feasting. You know, I mean, it's not a time of year to go on a diet, is it? Let's be honest. But just wider than that, isn't it just good news? I just want to start with this. It's good news, is it not, that God wants us to feast, that God wants us to enjoy, that God wants us to celebrate? Because you could hang around churches for quite a long time and not get that idea. Do you know what I mean? You could hang around with religious people for a long time and not get that idea. Our reputation out there is not for being number one party people, is it? And yet, there's so much good stuff in the Word of God, like in the Psalms. You could almost open your Bible in any random place, but Psalm 9, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Sounds pretty good. I will tell of your average deeds, your okay deeds. No, your wonderful deeds. Wonderful. I will be, okay, glad. I will exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Do you get the feeling that he's pretty happy? He's pretty good. You know, he's up. Nehemiah said, word of the Lord, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Amen. Amen, brother. That's how we end every service. Go now and enjoy cake and tea and coffee, if you wish. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. Isn't that beautiful? This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your. Awesome, isn't it? Ecclesiastes, thank you. One of you, I'm doing well. We'll advance from there. No, you're doing well. It's great. Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite books of the Bible. So I commend the enjoyment of life. Because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Let that be our verse for Christmas Day. Then joy will accompany them in the toil of all of the days of the life that God has given them under the sun. You know, that's Ecclesiastes is a really interesting, deep, wise book. And there is that sense of this balance. You know, life isn't easy all the time. There is fasting as well as feasting. And I think the point here is, so for goodness sake, enjoy the feasting.
enjoy the good times. You know, it's so easy to have our eyes cast down. But yeah, life is tough. Christmas can be tough for some people, for all of us in different ways, I guess. But when you have the opportunity to lift your eyes up and celebrate, then lift your eyes up and celebrate. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And finally, Jesus himself says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That word can mean to the full, overflowing, so much life, it's leaking out at the edges. And that's a bit like Boxing Day, isn't it? So the overarching theme of this series, so we kicked it off last week, but I want to give you a bit of background this week so you kind of know where we're going and what we're doing and what it's all about. So it's about celebration. It's about celebration. It's about the invitation to feast on God, if you like, to be filled by him, to be nourished by him. And my prayer for us this Christmas season, for us in this community, and for the people that we'll be connecting with, that we'll be encouraging ourselves and one another to be filled with the presence of Jesus again. Feast on that presence. Don't hold back. Invite more and more. May we need a diet from Jesus in the new year. No, that doesn't work. We're not going to need a diet from Jesus. But may we be filled with Jesus. And there are reasons, of course, that this season might be difficult for some people. There are plenty of reasons. You know, if you're struggling with grief, the kind of enforced jollity of the season, the kind of all the carrying on and all that sort of thing, that can be hard. You know, if you haven't got important people in your life, then this whole theme about being together with people and meeting up and family time and all that, it can sharpen that grief, can't it? We totally understand that and are empathetic to that. And there can be specific memories of things that happened maybe at this time of year in your life, which mean that this time of year is difficult. I get that. I have total sympathy for that. It can be challenging, and the themes of the season can sharpen that sense of pain. But I just want to say that the theme of what I'm talking about today is not about that. It's not about the sort of real griefs that can be sharpened at this time of year. Instead, I want to talk today more about a general frustration that we might have, or you might have witnessed, especially in church communities, I think, especially in religious sort of communities. A more general sense of frustration, one might even say of grumpiness when it comes to Christmas. Specifically about Christmas trappings, all the paraphernalia of Christmas, which isn't explicitly to do with the nativity story. It isn't explicitly to do with Jesus. It isn't explicitly to do with spiritual or religious themes. It isn't explicitly about, you know, donkeys and innkeepers, although they're not in the Bible, and, you know, and three kings, even though they weren't three and they weren't kings, and all that stuff. See, I'm being grumpy already. See how easy it is to slip into that? I'm preaching to myself here, people. But you might find yourself feeling frustrated, feeling irritated. You know, found yourself saying things like, you know, it gets in the way of the true meaning of Christmas. All this stuff, you know, Father Christmas and the consumerism, it all gets in the way of the true meaning of Christmas. You know, all the consumerism and the stress and the strain, and have I got a present for Uncle Fred and Auntie Jan? I bet it's Auntie Bob, but I mean, whatever, you know. My brain. Just the stress and the strain and the consumerism is getting to me. And the tackiness, the superficiality. We might walk around, you know, sometimes you can have enough Christmas lights. Actually, no, you can't. You can never have enough Christmas lights. This person is just barely getting started, in my opinion. I love Christmas lights. We've just covered our house in them yesterday. It was fabulous. But it can be, you know, we can find ourselves feeling grumpy about maybe some of the things that we see as tacky, or the things we see as superficial, or the excess, you know, the excess in behavior, the excess in spending, the excess in consumption. And we can end up with this sort of love-hate feeling towards Christmas. We might love Jesus, we might love the gospel, we might love the nativity story, but with the Christmas season itself, as we celebrate it in our culture, who
has a sort of a kind of a love-hate feeling with it sometimes. Yeah, I get that. I get that. And my analogy for this is sprouts. As I started to share last week, who has a love-hate relationship with sprouts? I love sprouts. Well, let's unpack it slightly. I don't actually think sprouts are great, but when you cook them up with like bacon and cream, they're fabulous. It's amazing. And then later on, what the sprouts do to me, my wife doesn't like that. She hates that. And so, you know, there's a bit of harmony in the household and all that. But sprouts, you know, love them or hate them, you know, it can, Christmas can feel like that. It could be, you've got to have sprouts, it's Christmas, but who actually likes them? You know, it's, yeah, eight of us do. Who likes them with cream and bacon? Yes. Oh, you don't know what you're missing. It's just fabulous, best bit. So there can be this sense of general sort of frustration, grumpiness with the trappings and the paraphernalia of Christmas. And also today I want to share a more general reflection, something that's been speaking to me over the last few weeks. A sense in which it's almost like the picture shows, sort of like a keeping away, like things that we can't have or things that we're separated from. It came up in our Exploring Leadership group. You know, we were talking about something and a certain word came up. The word was transcendence. And a couple of people said, oh, I don't really like that word, transcendence. It sounds a bit Buddhist. And it's like, well, transcendent means you have a thing, and then when you go bigger, higher, wider, beyond that thing, that's transcend. It transcends. It's transcendent. What better word to describe God? Here's a box. What's higher than the box? What's bigger than the box? What's transcendent of the box? God. Why should that word be stolen from us? Why should things be stolen? Why should the things of creation be stolen from the people of God who created it all? I've got another story. I've got I'll mention no names. I've got a colleague in ministry, and he's very fond of saying, what's a cult? And what's pagan? Oh, that's a cult. Oh, that's pagan. That is. So we were talking about stars some time ago, and I was talking about, you know, the difficulty of Christmas of which star. Nick and I, a couple of years ago, we made a five-pointed star out of five bamboo canes, stuck it up the front, lit it all up with fairy lights, stood back and went, yeah, we've just put a massive pentagram at the front of the church. And we realised that might be a problem, so we adjusted it. But to some extent, so I was talking, I said, you know, so we're thinking about putting a five-pointed star. That's pagan. That's a cult, that is. Okay, well, we're going to have a six-pointed star. Well, that's pagan too. That's a cult too. It's like, why should the devil have all the good shapes? You know what I'm saying? That's our shape. We're having that shape back. I want to suggest there is a wider issue here. There's an issue of how you approach life. Perhaps there are underlying assumptions about... I see in this tendency we have to go, oh, stay back from that. Oh, no, I don't know about... Oh, you can't say that. You can't do that. You can't make it that shape. There's a sense in here, and I want to strip back the layers a little bit and say there's an assumption about how the world works. I want to argue that there is an assumption about the presence or the absence of God in all things. Bottom line, put it like this. Is God far away? Is God absent? Is God difficult to access? It's almost like that attitude can be saying, you know, with all this pagan symbolism all around, it's going to be really, really hard to see God. It's going to be really, really hard to find God. All the words that we can't use, it's going to be really hard to talk about God. God's difficult to access. He's far away. He's absent. There's a mentality here. Do you get what I'm saying? It's an attitude. It's a perception of what life is like and what creation is all about. Or, as Paul says in Acts 17, is God close? Is he close at hand so much that you could just reach out and grasping and groping, you would find him? That's what Paul promises. God is so close that even if you're sort of blindly stumbling, you would reach out and you would grasp him. Is that the world we're in? It's a question. What world do we live in? Is it the former or is it the latter?
Is God imminent? Is he able to be revealed if we just clean or adjust our lenses? I always manage to get my glasses dirty all the time, so usually before I start, I just clean my glasses and now I can see. If we just adjust, if we just clean our perspective, Simon led us earlier, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. We sing that song so many times. The assumption is, if we open our eyes, we will see him. Yeah? That wasn't complicated. You're looking slightly befuddled at me. Like, there's an assumption. Open the eyes of my heart because I want to see you and I will see you. It's not open the eyes of my heart. Oh, he wasn't there anyway. That's not the subtext of the song. You know, we could take this question further. Is worship, and that's what I really want us to focus on. This is really a series about worship. Is worship something unusual, something difficult, something that must be accessed in very specific ways? You can only worship when you're singing in church on a Sunday between the hours of 10:30 and 11:45. Is that what worship is? Or is worship something bigger, grander, all-pervading, accessible? It's there if we just open the eyes of our heart. Can we see the potential for worship everywhere, even in unexpected things? And maybe you can see where I'm going. Because Scripture paints this wide and expansive and all-embracing vision of God's presence and his action in all things. You know, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and some of the things in it. Bits of the earth are the Lord's, and the occasional thing that you might stumble across if you work really hard are also his. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Paul references this very verse in 1 Corinthians 10. And also in Colossians, even more explicitly, Paul says, he is the image, and this is perhaps our verse for today, if there's one verse for today. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, some things hold together. No. All things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers or covered in tinsel. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things. In him, all things hold together. Are you getting a theme here? He's definitely talking about more than some things, isn't he? He is the head of the church, head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might have first place in everything. For in him, all the fullness of our amazing, majestic, creator, transcendent God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all, say that with me, to reconcile to himself all things. That wasn't quite good enough. To reconcile to himself all things, even Father Christmas. Come on, let's take Christmas back. Let's make Christmas great again. Whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. You know, elsewhere in Scripture, give thanks in all circumstances. God may be glorified in all things and in everything with thanksgiving, Paul says in Philippians. Do you get the sense of this wide, expansive, embracive, all-encompassing vision of what life in Christ is all about? Is my enthusiasm even slightly infectious? Come on. Come on. It's exciting. This Christmas, I want to check that reaction to be robbed. I want to check that reaction that allows stuff to be taken from me. I want that for you. I want us to, when that impulse that rises, that goes, oh, that's pagan. No, stop. Before anyone misused it, this was a good thing. Used for good purposes. Created by a good God who said, it's all good.
It's all very good. Let's not allow the bad usage of a good thing to taint the thing itself. Am I right? For sure, as I said, there is grief, there is suffering, there is distraction, there is difficulty at Christmas time especially, and all through the year. I get that. I'm not talking about those feelings. As I say, I have great empathy for those things. But when it just comes to like the trappings of Christmas, the lights, the decorations, the themes, we can choose to reclaim them. And we can choose to worship God through them, I want to suggest to you. And we're going to work on that. And also, just finally, I want to suggest to you that a kind of a three-dimensional, a infectious, an enthusiastic, an expansive, creative ability to see the good and the value in all things is more likely to get people's attention. It's more likely to share good news, to spread good news. It's more likely to engage interest in Jesus from our friends and perhaps friends and families and community that perhaps don't know him so well, than a kind of pessimistic, grumpy, Christmas, it's too consumerist, it's not as expensive. That was my grumpy voice. You got that. I want to suggest to you that many Christmas things may be imperfect, of course, but the gospel contains this huge, ebullient, that's a wonderful word, isn't it? Ebullient, effervescent hope. We had the first candle here, hope. The gospel contains hope. What is that hope? The reconciliation of all. The renewal of all. The restoration of all. Let's start with Christmas. Let's make Christmas great again. In this series, I'm going to point out several Christmas things, Christmas trappings, and I want to offer some reflections on them that hopefully point us to Jesus. And my hope is that then when you're out and about, when you're with people, when you're at home, when you're in town, whatever it might be, that when you see these things, these reflections will come to mind and they will lead us. They will be a call to worship. They will be, oh yeah, that thing. I'm going to worship God right now. I'm going to celebrate God right now. My hope is that this will be little memory aids, little mental triggers that we go, oh yeah, that. And it leads us to more and more worship this Christmas. So I'm going to start off with a really easy one. A really easy one you can help me with. Fruit. Who used to get like a tangerine in their stocking when they were kids? Christmas is full of fruit, isn't it? You know, what fruit is there at Christmas? Tangerines. What other fruit is there at Christmas? Raisins, cranberries, cherries, red currants, dates. Is date a fruit? We have a box of dates sometimes, you know. Terry's chocolate orange, that's a fruit. The fruit that we put in mince pies and Christmas pudding. The theme of this whole series is a big Christmas pudding, and we're going to make one for the carol service. So, yeah, fruit is everywhere. Now, again, starting you off with a nice easy one. How does the thought of fruit lead us to thoughts about Jesus or thinking about our God? What can fruit lead us to? Anyone, got any suggestions? Fruit of the Spirit. Come on, I thought I told you I'd give you an easy one to start with. Let's go together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Who was going, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, fabulous. Also, there's just the general notion throughout Scripture of fruitfulness in life. That's why in so many parables, Jesus talks about something, whether it's fruitful or not. He talks about vineyards. He talks about farmers' fields. And the idea is always about fruitfulness. That's obviously the good thing when there's lots of fruit. You know, in James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. He doesn't explain what that good fruit is. It's just obvious, isn't it? That's the wisdom from heaven is going to lead us to good fruit. It's going to be full of good fruit. There's going to be a good outcome, fruitfulness
in life in general. Jeremiah, I love these verses. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. That's the key. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Why? What's going to happen? Whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Fruitfulness. Wonderful. It's all about trusting in God and being connected with God, putting our confidence, as Jeremiah says, in God. And then really famous verses, you probably jumped there before me. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's some hard words there. But while every branch that does bear fruit, he will prune so that it will be even more fruitful. That's hard too. But why? Why is that? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in life. So I want to offer you this, just little quick reflections like that. When you see fruit, when you see a bowl of fruit, when someone gives you a Terry's chocolate orange, when you get a tangerine in your stocking, if you've been very, very good, hopefully you don't get any coal. When you bite into a mince pie, all the mince pies we're going to bring in next week for the carol service, don't forget, otherwise we won't have any mince pies. When you bite into a mince pie or Christmas pudding or something like that, when you taste that fruit, think of all the qualities of fruit and think of how Scripture constantly says, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Trust in the Lord. Trust. How do you do that? You don't. It's not by effort. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Worship him. Seek fruit in your life. I want to offer you a fruity prayer. Maybe you could pray something like this. So you see a bowl of fruit. You taste some fruit. And as you're eating that mince pie or whatever it might be, or that Terry's chocolate orange, you say something like this. Father, thank you for the sight and the smell and the taste of this fruit. Root me in you. Refresh me. Make me fruitful in you. May my life bear a harvest of good things. Something like that, yeah? So every time you see, you're going to be walking around Tesco's going, my Lord, oh, bananas, here we go again. It could take a while. When you're walking down the produce aisle, it could take a little while. I'm just saying, the fruit and veg. Oh, thank goodness it's a potato. Jamie didn't say anything about vegetables. Yet. I hadn't thought of doing vegetables, actually. Maybe I'll do that next week. I hadn't fully no idea. Anyway, so I want to give you one more reflection before we finish today. So we've talked about fruit. What goes with fruit? Fruit and custard? What's Christmas like in your household? Fruit and custard. Well, fruit and nuts. Well done, sir. Fruit and nuts. Okay, this is a little bit more tricky. This is a bit more tricky, but who has a bowl of nuts in their house at Christmas? With your old nutcracker flying everywhere, getting you in the eye up to A&E, drawing blood, catching a bit of your finger in the nutcracker. Oh, no! You know, nuts, chestnut stuffing. Or even when you hear, my wife went, yes. Like that was a visceral reaction, that was. Yes! Nuts. Even when you hear chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I'm available for parties, bar mitzvahs, funerals. Very cheap, yeah. Even when we hear that song. So nuts. Fairly common at Christmas. You might have some nuts in your Christmas pudding or whatever it may be, or nuts around. What's the connection here? So maybe a little bit more tenuous, this one. So when we see some nuts, when we eat some nuts, taste some nuts, or hear Nat King Cole singing Chestnuts Roasting, this is the connection I want you to make. You see, Scripture says that when you follow Jesus, people will sometimes think that you're nuts. You see what I've done there? Make the nuts, yes. We're going to be fools for Christ. Amen? Jesus' own family thought he was insane. They came to like take him home. Yo, come on, let's take you home. You know, Paul, in his writing, he says he's been accused of being out of his mind. And he says, if I am out of my mind, it's for your sake. He's the one that comes up with this expression, fools for Christ, as well. Be fools for Christ. Even in the old King James Version, but ye, the bottom one, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are a peculiar people, just from my perspective, some more than others, but anyway. When we follow Jesus, the reason this is when we follow Jesus, there is a shift in perception, isn't there? It's changing, like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, again. It's a shift in perception, how we see the world. And it's upside down, it's inverted, it's wrong-headed in the eyes of the world. So, for example, Jesus says to forgive your enemies. Who does that? No, we kill our enemies, we destroy our enemies. Don't forgive, no, forgive your enemies. Jesus says, strength is found in weakness. That's upside down. That's muddle-headed in the eyes of the world. Blessed are those who mourn. What? When we're at our lowest ebb, that's when we're blessed? That doesn't feel natural and intuitive. And the last shall be, and the first shall be. It's upside down. And it's the humble that will be exalted and lifted up. And if you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant, the least of all, the servant of all. People will not get this. I can say it's so upside down, it's so different, it's so inverted, given the wisdom of the world. People might reject this wisdom, they might despise it. You know, Nietzsche very famously despised Christianity for what he saw as its kind of weakness and the inversion of this natural order of things. But as we follow Jesus, and many of us in this room will be able to give testimony of this, I want to suggest to you that you will come to experience the power of this upside-down kingdom. When you live in this, from the outside, you can say, that's nuts. I'm not going to forgive my enemies. I hate my enemies. But when you live in the power of that, your life will be transformed. You will experience the power of the kingdom that is so much greater than the power of this world. And then we're not afraid to go against the wisdom of the world. As Scripture encourages constantly, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And finally, just a couple of verses from Romans. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a fundamental difference in perception and lifestyle. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a whole different mentality. So when you see nuts, when you taste some nuts, when you hear Nat King Cole singing about chestnuts roasting on an open fire, even if you're allergic to nuts, this is perfectly safe. No problem at all. You won't need an EpiPen. I want to encourage you to maybe have a nutty meditation. A meditation on what it is to be different and even to be perceived as different and to be misunderstood sometimes. To be considered wrong-headed because we have seen the power of this upside-down kingdom. So I want to suggest to you nutty meditation. You can come up with your own, but this is one that I want to offer to you. Something like this. Reflection that a nut has a hard shell. It can be hard to get inside. It can keep out those that don't persevere. But Father, may I not be satisfied with the outside appearances. Take me deeper than the wisdom and the ways of the world. Crack through the shell and reveal the treasure and reward. For if I am a fool, may I be a fool for you. That's my life verse. So, I'm going to invite Simon and the band just to lead us maybe in a final worship song, get themselves plugged in. I want to just lead us in a final prayer. And a final benediction, if you like. Lord, in this Christmas season, may our eyes be opened. May our eyes be opened to see the hand of God upon all things and the heart of God for all things and the hope of God in all things. Lord, will you inscribe your truth on our hearts, on our minds, and change our perception, Lord, so that instead of being sucked into the wisdom of the world, sucked into the hopelessness and the distraction of the world, Lord, instead of giving way to cynicism, Lord, will you rekindle in us again a fresh anointing of hope, that we may see you in all things, that we may worship you in all things. May our lives be lives of worship and celebration, and may we feast upon you this Christmas and be nourished and filled the whole year round. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was an absolutely awesome message, and I know he'll be embarrassed, but let's show our appreciation for Jamie for all he's done this year and for that. He was really firing on all 12 cylinders. Awesome. Really enjoyed that. Praise God. That's really one to remember over Christmas, isn't it? Hallelujah. Yeah, please, let's stand and let's feast on the Lord before we go and feast on cake, if it's there, and coffee. All right. In the glory of your presence,
in the
We thank you that somehow, Lord Jesus, the one in whom all things hold together, that you are both present and coming soon. Lord, let us never forget that as we press in to this Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of breath, the gift of each new day. Lord, even the monotonous gift of the rain. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all good things. And we praise you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and go and feast on cake and coffee. In Jesus' name, amen.